David Baptiste's dreads are grey and his body wizened to twigs of hard black coral. But there's still a few people around St. Constance who remember him as a young man and his part in the events of 1976, when those white men from Florida came to fish for marlin and instead pulled a mermaid out of the sea. It happened in April, after the leatherbacks had started to migrate. Some said she arrived with them. Others said they'd seen her before, those who'd fished far out. But most people agreed that she would never have been caught at all if the two of them hadn't been carrying on some kind of flirty behavior. Black Conch water's nice first thing in the morning. David Baptiste often went out as early as possible, trying to beat the other fishermen to a good catch of kingfish or red snapper. He would head to the jagged rocks 1 mile or so off Murder Bay, taking with him his usual accoutrements to keep him company while he put his lines out, a stick of the finest local ganja, and his guitar, which he didn't play too well, an old beat-up thing his cousin, Nicer Country, had given him. He would drop anchor near those rocks, lash the rudder, light his spliff and strum to himself, while the white neon disc of the sun appeared on the horizon, pushing itself up, rising slow, omnipotent into the silver-blue sky. David was strumming his guitar and singing to himself when she first raised her barnacled seaweed-clotted head from the flat, silver-gray sea, its stark hues of turquoise not yet stirred. Plain so, the mermaid popped up and watched him for some time before he glanced around and caught sight of her. "Holy Mother of Holy God on Earth!" he exclaimed. She ducked back under the sea. Quick, he put down his guitar and peered hard. It wasn't full daylight yet. He rubbed his eyes as if to make them see better. "Hey!" he called across the water. "Dudu, come! Mami Wata, come! Come now!" He put one hand on his heart because it was leaping around inside his chest. His stomach trembled with desire and fear and wonder because he knew what he'd seen. A woman, right there in the water. A red-skinned woman, not black, not African, not yellow, not a Chinese woman, or a woman with golden hair from Amsterdam. Not a blue woman either, blue like a damn fish. Red. She was a red woman, like an Amerindian. Or anyway, her top half was red. He had seen her shoulders, her head, her breasts, and her long black hair like roots, all sea massy and juke up with anemone and conch shell. A mer woman. He stared at the spot of her appearance for some time. He took a good look at his spliff. Was it something real strong he smoked that morning? He shook himself and gazed hard at the sea, waiting for her to pop back up. "Come back!" he shouted into the deep greyness. The mermaid had held her head up high above the waves, and he'd seen a certain expression on her face, like she'd been studying him. He waited. But nothing happened. Not that day. He sat down in his pirogue, and for some reason tears fell for his mother. Just like that. For Lavinia Baptiste, his good mother, the bread baker of the village, dead not 2 years. Later, when he racked his brain, he thought of all those stories he'd heard since childhood, tales of half and half sea creatures, except those stories were of mermen. Black Conch legend told of mermen who lived deep in the sea and came onto land now and then to mate with river maidens, old-time stories from the colonial era. The older fishermen liked to talk in Cece's parlor on the foreshore, sometimes late into the night after many rums and too much marijuana. The mermen of Black Conch were just that, stories. It was April, time of the leatherback migration south to Black Conch waters, time of dry season, of puist trees exploding in the hills, yellow and pink, like bombs of sulfur. The time when the whorish flamboyant begins to bloom. From that moment, when that red-skinned woman rose and disappeared as if to tease him, David ached to see her again. He felt a bittersweet melancholy a soft caress to his spirit. Nothing to do with what he'd been smoking. That day, a part of him lit up, a part he'd no idea was there to light. He felt a sharp stabbing sensation right there in the flat part between his ribs, in his solar plexus.
"Come back now,"
he said soft and gentleman-like, after his mother's tears had dried and his face was tight with the salt. Something had happened. She had risen from the waves, chosen him, a humble fisherman.
"Come now, Dodo,"
he pleaded, this time softer still, as if to lure her. But the water had settled back flat.